Welcome back to Thimbleberry U. I am John Jagay. I'm joined again by Amy Walls from Thimbleberry Financial. And Amy, we are talking about the CARES Act today. But because I care, first I'll ask, how are you?
I am doing great. How about yourself?
We're hanging in. So in most of the country, we're deep into that first month of quarantine, trying to stop COVID-19, the coronavirus. Some states like New York, New Jersey, California are in full lockdown. Others like Oregon are now under a stay-at-home order. Let me start by asking you before we get into the act itself, Amy, how has the economy been impacted by all of the events of the last couple months? It's kind of a broad question, I know, but...
Yeah, that's the giggle. You know, clearly there has been some chaos, you know, within the economy, in the markets, and some industries and individuals are being hit harder than others. Mm-hmm. But on Friday, March 27th, the CARES Act was signed, and it has broad implications for both individuals and business owners. I think the thing to know, it's a $2 trillion relief bill. Mm. And like most things Congress does, it's not simple. So we'll spend some time today talking more about how the CARES Act is affecting individuals.
Okay, so the number one question that I have, which I'm sure is the number one question that you're being asked by your clients, those stimulus checks, tell me more.
Yes, it is definitely part of the CARES Act, and it is the thing that's getting the most publicity. And the goal really is that within 2 weeks, every person will have money either direct deposited or on its way to them via a check. Now, when I say every person, that's every person that's eligible. Mm-hmm. And that's an important point. Not everybody is actually going to get money. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the thing to know is if you have filed your 2019 taxes already, the amount you receive will be based on your income on the 2019 tax return. Mm-hmm. If you haven't filed yet, it will be based on your 2018 tax return.
And I'm kicking myself a little bit because my 2019 was better than my 2018. If I had known this was going to happen, I might have held off on filing the 2019 taxes for another month. And there's a little bit of strategery involved there.
There can be. Hindsight's 2020, too.
Indeed. All right. Well, as we come back to 2020, how are these stimulus checks going to work and how was it figured?
Yeah, so the amount people receive is going to be based on their income for either 2018 or 2019, mm-hmm. and the number of children they have. So if you are a single filer, your payment will be $1,200. And if you're a joint filer, then you will get $2,400. Plus, then there's the kids. And for each of the kids, there is a $500 increase. So I mentioned not everybody would get this, and it's based on income. The amount you get is actually going to be reduced for people with higher incomes. And there's a phase out range. So for single filers, they'll get the full amount if they make less than $75,000. And they won't get anything if they make more than $99,000.
Got it.
And then in between, it'll be some prorated amount, if you will. Mm-hmm. For joint filers, if your joint income was under $150,000, you'll get the full amount. And if your income was over $198,000, you won't get anything.
And again, tapering off in between those two numbers, depending on where you fall.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is when I'm saying income, it's your adjusted gross income.
That AGI line from your tax return. Yep.
Yep. So the other thing is payments are supposed to be direct deposited if you have gotten refunds via direct deposit. Mm-hmm. So no action would be needed there. There's two situations where people may need to do something.
Okay.
One is what you were alluding to earlier. If your 2019 income is under the phase out range and your 2018 income was over, well, then you may want to talk to your CPA about quickly getting those taxes filed.
You want, yeah, in that case, if your 2019 was lower, you want them to obviously go by the 2019 numbers.
Yes. The other reason is if you had a child.
Right. You wouldn't want to miss out on that benefit.
Nope. So people should check with their CPAs to see if it does make sense to get those 2019 taxes filed quickly and have the checks come in.
Correct. All right. So as we are recording this on Friday morning, April 3rd, that red letter day of April 15th is fast approaching. So wouldn't people need to file their taxes anyway coming up here soon?
Well, actually, that would normally be the case. But again, the CARES Act has stepped in here and the tax filing deadline has been moved back to July 15th. That's for federal taxes. Many states have now fallen in line with that July 15th deadline, but that's up to each state. So people need to check with what their state specific rules are on that.
Well, that's a good idea because it can be with everything shut down and everybody kind of doing the home office thing, it can be hard to coordinate your tax filing with your tax preparer, I'd imagine.
It definitely can. We're definitely hearing stories about that. I'll leave it at that. The filing extension moved to July 15th also, though, extends retirement contributions to Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs. So that's something important for people to know. If you haven't made 2019 contributions and you haven't filed your 2019 taxes, well, now you have until July 15 to do both.
Okay. So in addition to the stimulus checks, there are a number of implications, as you just sort of alluded to, with regard to retirement accounts, right?
Yes. So there are many other changes besides just the contribution deadline changing. So one of the big ones I've been talking to our more mature clients about is that their required minimum distributions are suspended for 2020. Now, this just doesn't apply to the 70 and a half and older crowd that has that. But if you have an inherited IRA, that required minimum distribution is also delayed or suspended.
We talked about those inherited IRAs in a previous episode. Go on.
Yes. So one thing to know is that if your first distribution was supposed to be in 2019 and you were waiting to take it till April 1st of this year, that was also suspended. And if you already took your required minimum distribution for 2020, you have 60 days to repay it into the account.
You can put it back in and not have to withdraw it at a loss with the market being down.
Yes. Now, some, because of the timing of this, some people may have withdrawn it when the market was high, and so they may want to keep that. But the example would be if they don't need the money, then you might want to get it back into the market now, especially with the market being low.
Got it. And Amy, what else is going on with these withdrawal rules?
One of the things that's happened is Congress has relaxed the withdrawal rules in these accounts. So normally, if you're under 59 and a half, a 10% penalty would apply to any withdrawals out of an IRA. They have now said you can withdraw up to $100,000 without the 10% penalty. Federal and state tax will still apply. And there's a couple catches to this that you need to know about.
Okay.
First of all, you must have been diagnosed or experienced a financial hardship as a result of a coronavirus-related event, such as quarantine or furlough, layoffs, whatever that is. Also, when you withdraw, federal taxes can now be spread out over 3 years, and you can even repay. This is really unique. Repay an IRA distribution over 3 years. Normally, you have 60 days to get money back into an IRA.
And this really comes down to the crux of the CARES Act, which is that with so many people homebound and so many people not working and so many businesses in a lot of trouble right now, it's a cash flow issue. And the government is trying to put cash in people's hands. And I love that they're kind of withdrawing some of the, you know, guardrails and penalties because, you know, to paraphrase that infomercial at 2 a.m., it's my money and I want it now. People need the money right now. So it really is key to see the government doing what they can to put money in people's hands so they can pay their rent and their other bills.
This is true. And what I'd also say about that is sometimes it's the most obvious choice for people. And so people will go there. And I think this is a place that if you are considering doing this, spend a little time finding a financial advisor and just having a conversation with them about, does this make sense or is there another way I can do this? Because with the market being low and you likely being invested, it may seem like a good place to get at money, but it may not be your best avenue.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And sometimes a third party is less emotional and more objective to help you see what other options you have.
I think that's something we've talked about many times before, Amy, is having a neutral party that doesn't have the same emotion about your money that you do. So what other aspects should we look at on the CARES Act?
Workplace retirement loans have also had some changes as a result. Normally, there's a $50,000 borrowing limit from a 401k or a 403b. That amount has been doubled to $100,000. There is also a rule that loans may not exceed half of the vested account balance, and that has been removed.
Okay.
Additionally, repayment of those loans and loans that were already in existence can now be deferred for 1 year.
Got it.
Now, with all of these things, it's important to note that they mapped things out, but the IRS still has to do some clarifying. And so they will be doing some of that. So before anybody asks, tax, they really should go ahead and just make sure that there hasn't been further clarification.
Right. They had to crank this thing out so quickly. They may not necessarily have had time to cross all the T's and dot the I's.
Absolutely.
So student loans are another thing that's affected by this, right?
Yeah. With student loans, interest is being waived for federal student loans starting March 13th. And that's supposed to be happening automatically. And the interest payments will actually be suspended for 6 months, including the interest. If you are on a loan that is eligible for loan forgiveness, the missed payments over the 6 months are not supposed to impact your eligibility for loan forgiveness. In fact, it's a six-month credit towards loan forgiveness. What I'd say there is executing on this may be a little bit difficult for, you know, the folks that are doing that work. So watch your statements carefully. Make sure it's executed properly.
That's really good advice. So essentially, if you skip these next six payments, they're going to count it toward your eligibility as if you made them. And as far as the payments and the interest overall, it's like just pushing the pause button until the fall.
Yes. And you can continue to make payments and that will just pay down principal at this point.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Yep. And then charitable contributions have also changed.
Mm-hmm.
For individuals who take the standard deduction, they will now be able to get a $300 deduction for cash charitable contributions to a 501c3.
Okay.
I believe this is related to donations related to coronavirus. I've seen some mixed information on that. Also, people who itemize can normally deduct up to 60% of their adjusted gross income.
Mm-hmm.
And now they'll be able to deduct 100%. So for very wealthy individuals, they can donate basically 100% of their income this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Now, it's important to note that this is to a qualified charity. Donor advised funds don't count. So it's important to check the fine print on that before you decide what a charity is.
Well, it's just another way to help people out. There are so many great deserving organizations that are going to be hurting in the next, have been hurting for the next month and are going to be hurting over the summer, that this is a way to maybe help them out a little bit too.
It is. A lot of people who are doing well want to help people who are having a hard time right now. And I think Congress did a good thing here in coming up with a way to let those people be able to help further and still get a benefit for it.
Amy, I also want to ask you about unemployment insurance. Actually, about an hour or two ago, a friend of mine called me this morning, pretty upset. He had just gotten laid off from his job. And I said, look, it's unfortunate. I'm sorry to hear that. But if you were ever going to be laid off and collect unemployment, this is probably the time for it to happen, right?
It is. The federal government expanded unemployment insurance benefits. So what that looks like is $1 billion in aid that is being provided to the states.
Okay.
And they also included provisions that this is for self-employed workers too, which is normally a hard thing. Basically, how it's working is for the first 13 weeks that you are unemployed, the government is adding money on to boost what your payment would be.
So you're getting your state money, and then you're getting federal money on top of it.
Exactly. Exactly. Other things to note is that employees may be eligible for increased sick and family leave time. That can be up to 2 weeks or 80 hours worth. It depends how much you get based on if the worker is actually sick or if they are caring for an ill family member or a child who's out of school.
Got it.
Which, children out of school is definitely making life interesting.
We'll hit on that in our next episode.
Fair enough.
And then how does the CARES Act apply to health-related costs?
They definitely wanted to make sure that people could, you know, find out if they're ill and get some help. So what they've done is they've said that any testing for COVID-19 and any vaccines in the future must be covered by health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They have also increased the access to telehealth services under Medicare.
Right, much easier to talk to your doctor on a Skype call or whatever the program would be, as opposed to having to go into a doctor's office, which is a very dangerous thing right now.
Absolutely. It keeps the medical professionals more safe and it keeps us more safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then high deductible health plans with health savings accounts can now allow telehealth services even when patients haven't met their annual deductibles. So that is a shift.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they're definitely moving more towards keeping us all safe.
A lot of information we've covered here in just about 15 minutes, Amy, and really every individual situation is different. As we always say, If somebody listening wants more information about their individual situation and how all of this applies to them, they want to reach you at Thimbleberry Financial, what are the best ways to reach you?
Give us a call at 503-610-6510 or reach us through our website at thimbleberryfinancial.com.
And you're meeting with clients remotely, I'd imagine, right?
We are. I've actually changed my hours fairly significantly. Normally, we're 8 to 5, but because my husband and I are sharing childcare, I am now working from 5 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. So I'm seeing clients from 7 a.m. until 1:30 each day.
At least you are in sync with the markets now, right?
I am. Yes.
All right, Amy, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jag.
Registered representative, securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Thimbleberry Financial are not affiliated. Cambridge does not offer tax or legal advice. Thimbleberry Financial is located at 650 Northeast Holiday Street, Suite 1600, Portland, Oregon, 97232.